Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Jesus said,
men, not some men, but all men unto him. Therefore, the breakthrough broadcast will always lift up the great and mighty name of Jesus. Yes, he is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. I want you to know today that you are God, and God is in your life. If you just lift him up today, if you just give him the praise, if you just give him the glory. I want you to know, even at this time, that you still have time. You still have time for your audience to call a neighbor and call a friend and tell them that the breakthrough broadcast is on the air. And I want you to know today that the Lord will move no matter what the circumstances is in your life. No matter what you are going through today, I want you to know that God is in the midst. Yes, this is the breakthrough broadcast. And if you need a breakthrough from God, I want you to know that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. And there is, see, the devil has lied to you, because there is nothing too hard for God to do. He is nothing too hard that he cannot do for you in your life. So I want you to get ready to enjoy the Lord today. Get ready for expectation. Get ready for the Lord to come in and to make a difference in your life. I want you to know today that the breakthrough broadcast, a study text, will be coming from John, the first chapter, first through the 18th verse. And our topic for today on breakthrough is the incarnation. And our key verse will be John, first chapter. And let us look at that 14th verse. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in the NIV, it states, the Word was made flesh, the Word became flesh, and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth, full of grace and truth. We would like to take this time today to welcome our panelists to Breakthrough Broadcast, and they are as following. We would like to welcome Miss Helen Watson, Pastor Eric Hooper, Evangelist Jersey Spencer, and we're so glad to have them again with us today on the Breakthrough Broadcast. And what we want to address today, we're going to be talking about the eternal Word. Can you say that with me? The eternal Word. And it's going to, in that particular scripture, will be taken from St. John, the first chapter, 1 through the 5th verse. And at this time, we're getting ready to welcome our first panelist, who's going to be talking about that eternal Word. And that is none other than Pastor Eric Hooper. Pastor Hooper, welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy. Amen. God bless you all, panel, as well as the listening audience out there in the radio land today. And we're going to be talking about, as you said, the eternal Word. And we're talking about the incarnation. Let me read John. We can be coming from John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5. And let me read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Amen. Amen. And we're talking about the eternal word. What's one thing that the Lord says in the New Testament, how he talks about, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away. He says, but my word shall abide forever. And then if you go back to the first verse in chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. And we know that God does not live in time. God dwells in eternity. That's why the Bible says that he says that he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. And Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the thing about that is God sits in eternity and he looks down into the earth, which where time exists, and he does those things which he has preordained before the foundation of the world and the lives of people that he creates to accomplish his mission or to accomplish his will on earth. And the thing about it is God's word will never fail. His word always was, as the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So that means before time, before we were even created, God's word, which was in himself, was already in existence. It was already in power. It's just God was just looking for a place to put out to exert his will, and he did that in time through the earth realm. And so what we want to do is remember this, that whatever God says, God means what he says, and God will never take back anything that he said. If God spoke it, he's going to do it, and if he said it, he's going to make it good. So I just want to encourage the listeners out there in the radio land today that it doesn't matter what you face or how long you may have seen about the prophetic word or the promise that God has spoken over your life. Remember, God does not exist in time. He sits in a place called eternity. And just because you have not seen the manifestation of the promise of God's word, or the promise that he's spoken over your life, that does not mean it's not going to come to pass. That just means it's going to come to pass at an appointed time. But remember that God has not forgotten about you. God has not lied to you about what he said that he is going to do. There's going to be an appointed time when God brings about the manifestation, what he has spoken of your life. Like he told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew thee. And he had ordained him a prophet before the nation. And the thing about it, before God even put you in your mother's womb for you to come through from out of eternity into time, God had already had a promise that came along with you. And what you have to remember is you have to position yourself in the place with God, that you're walking with God, that the things that God has spoken concerning your life can begin to come to pass. The sooner you surrender, the sooner you acknowledge where you are, as soon as you begin to examine yourself and to begin to search yourself and to compare yourself to the Word, then what happens is when you begin to confess those things, you begin to release those things and offer those things to God in exchange for himself or his word or his way, what can happen is your process can then speed up. But so many times we want the promise without the process. And like you said, we are our delay. Like you said, God doesn't get tired of waiting as far as what he said. The thing about it, he's not on a time scale. We are. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die. If you never reach the epitome or the place, the ultimate place where God has spoken over your life, it's only because of you. It's not God's fault. You have to look at yourself. And there's a scripture that talks about that in the book of Ezekiel, how the Lord says he would lay a stumbling block before the people. And the thing about it is, stumbling blocks cause you to fall. It causes you to stumble. It causes you to trip. It causes you not to walk erect. It causes you not to walk the way that you should walk, but you stumble. You're off balance. You're out of sequence. You're not balanced the way that you should be in your walk. And sometimes we have these things or these issues in our life, And what we do is we look from the outside and to blame the things on the outside, and those are the things that causes us to stumble. It is those things that we possess on the inside, because our description declares, the word of God declares that we are born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity. So therefore, we're already born into a place where we're weak and where we're vulnerable, where the adversary has access to our life. But once we become born again, then we become protected, we become shielded, we get into that place of safety, that secret place where the Lord would have us to dwell. But we have to remember that, the things about it is we have things in our flesh that we have to work out of our flesh, and we must do this. We must work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. But if we don't give reverence, or if we don't fear God, or we don't put God in a proper perspective in our lives, we'll never get to that place that God is talking about, that he has spoken about our lives. And so what God will do, God will raise up one, or he'll have to do it in the next generation. And so what we don't want to do is we don't want to leave this earth, or we don't want to depart from here and not have accomplished what God has spoken of our lives because of ourselves, because of our flesh. Just like the children of Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, which was a type of sin, which was a type of flesh, which was a type of bondage, and then he used Moses as a deliverer, as a type of Christ, to bring them across the dry land of the Red Sea, which was a type of deliverance, and bring them over to a place of the wilderness. What happens is if we get out of Israel and we end up staying in the place of the wilderness and never acknowledging what's in us, but always reflecting back on how good things was back in bondage, that means we're not looking towards the promise. We're looking back to the places where we were in prison or where we were bound, when things weren't challenging, when things were just like settled. So what we have to do is we have to remember the promise, first and foremost, what God has spoken over our life, and we have to make that our primary goal. God has to be the center and the focus in our life, not the thing, but him himself. And when we focus on walking with him, those things that we stumble over, those things that get in the way, they will eventually dissolve, because what we're doing, we're setting our affections on those things that are above. And as we do that, our salvation will become sure, and we'll also become more rooted and grounded in the things of God. And then once we're built up in our strength, God can then he can move us forward into those things that he has ahead for us, because we no longer stumble, or we no longer try to carry the things that cause us not to look like God. So I want to encourage the listeners today, stop making excuses on why you're not where you are in God. If you want to blame somebody, you have to blame yourself. You have to look back. You have to examine to see why that you're not where you're supposed to be. It's not God's fault. It's not the people on the outside, because nobody can make you respond or act out of character, or act out of the nature of Christ, but yourself. It's up to you. It's what's in you is going to come out of you. The Bible says you can judge a tree by its fruit. So I just want to encourage the listeners today out here in Radio Land, if you're really trying to get to that place where God wants you to be, I want you just to surrender your will, put to death the deeds of that flesh, and begin to pursue God with everything. Just go ahead and die to your ways and allow yourself to be resurrected in the spirit of Christ. Amen? Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I will freely give. And we are talking today about the eternal word. And Christ is that eternal word, that word that was from the beginning. We thank God for Pastor Cooper as he elaborated, as he broke down God's word to us, and how that Christ is eternal. He is that incarnation. He is that God that will not leave us. He is that God that will not forsake us. He was the first. He is the first. He is the last. He is, in other words, he was from the beginning. He was original. There's no date on him. It's no, just like with the time that we were born in our mother's womb, and the time that we got carried us and had us in our mother's womb from one time to the other, it was not like that in Christ. He was from the beginning. And what Pastor Hopper and Hoover was telling us that we can trust God, that we can rely on him, that we can depend upon him. He is our everlasting God. He says even so that he is the Alpha. He is the first. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. Certainly he is that true and the living God. And when we look at the Word of God, especially when I was looking at the Word of God and I seen in an area on about Revelation 19th chapter and the 11th verse, in which read it through his existence. We know that he is alive and alive forevermore. We know that he was from the beginning, and we know that he has proven himself, and the world has to know that Jesus is not a statue. He is not a wood carving, but he is the true. He is that living God. Nothing that man has put into an oven and burned. Nothing is not a figment of our imagination, but he is God. And when I look at the book of Revelation, at that 19th chapter, that 11th verse, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war." And then in that 12th and 13th verse, it says, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And when we began to look at the scripture and to look at, praise God, what Pastor Hooper was sharing with us, the word say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It let us know why we need the Word, because if we don't have the Word, if we don't know the Word, we don't know God. So it's time for us to establish a relationship with him. It's time for us to know him as our personal Savior. It's time for us to know him as one that made the heaven and the earth, one that has all power in his hand. Pastor Hooper said that he was from the beginning. He was beginning from the beginning. And he was God. And he was God all by himself. And the light. And he also is that light. In that fifth verse, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not." Christ, he is eternal. He is an eternal being, not just like us. He is an eternal being, as also the Father and the Holy Spirit. And we need for Christ to dwell in our heart. We need Christ to make the difference in us. And I heard you when you were speaking, Pastor Hooper, you were saying to us that we need to focus. We need to keep focused. We need to keep the focus in Christ. We need to have Christ in our life so we can focus upon him. And I heard you saying that we need to put God in the right perspective, and we and position him in our lives. So I want to ask you, Pastor Hooper, how can we make Christ the focus in our life?
Amen. Well, first and foremost, Dr. McCord, first of all, if we don't know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we must first confess and then believe. Because once we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, that he's the Son of God, and that he died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the dead, then we are saved. But after we have made our confession, then we must be in pursuit of him. You know, that's through daily living, daily devotion, seeking the God that we now serve to get to know him through relationship. And that comes through meditation in God's word, not just reading the word of God, but meditation in God's word, seeking God out in prayer, and giving God at times sincere fasting to get into his presence more, to get ourselves from away from the flesh, and these other cares of life, or the things that pull in our flesh, that we can get away from those things and get into God's presence. Because if you look at the example in the New Testament, how Christ, he would dwell amongst the people throughout the day, but at the end of the day, he would steal away. You know, he would steal away from the people. And at certain times, in the morning, he would go to a place that was solitary. He would pray and get in the presence of his Father to get instruction and to hear his voice clearly. Because he says, that which I do, that's what I see my Father do, I do. So therefore, the Bible says, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Not just as a part of man, but as a part of the mankind, which is male and female. So if you really desire to focus, you must begin to seek God as you would seek anything else that you desire. He has to become the desire that you pursue daily, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays at Bible study, but it has to be a daily relationship that you desire, to know. You should want to see the things that manifested in the Bible and the Word of God in your life, because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. So what he did back then for those people, he will do now, today, in your life. But you must make him real, because he is real. You must put him first. Amen? Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you. And as I listened to Pastor Hooper, he was saying again that he encouraged us to read the Word of God. But the Word of God says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. For we shall know truth, and the truth will make us free. Now, he was saying that we should read the word. We must read the word. He was also saying that in our reading, we need to take the time and to meditate on the word of God. And therefore, we should meditate on it, the word tell us, day and night. It's just like we having, have you ever had something that was delicious that you had in your mouth? It may have been a mess, maybe something that you had, something that you enjoyed, some special food that you didn't want to really to let go of it until you was ready to let go. We ought to get the word, and we're talking about God. We're talking about God's word. We're talking about getting closer to God. We're talking about getting to know him, because if we don't know him and we don't know his word, we don't really know him. So we're talking about getting the word, as we read the word, we'll talk about getting that word and getting small amount of it. It may just be one verse. It may be two or three words. But we're meditating on what God is saying and what God is speaking to us. And so the more that we meditate on it, the more we study the word of God, the more we hear the word of God, because the word does say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to have Christ Jesus in our lives. We need to study the word of God so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. So we don't have to fall for false doctrine, for things that are not written in God's word. So this is the reason why we need to put the word in perspective in our lives and apply it, not just read it, because many people read the word of God, but they don't apply it to their life. And you know what? The more I talk about this, the more I just get so blessed and blessed about it. But we're just going to move a little bit further, and we're going to be talking about the true life, and that's going to be taken from John, the same chapter, the first chapter, and we're going to go into that 6 through the 13, 14 through the 18, and we're going to be talking about that true life. And at this time, we would like to take this opportunity to welcome Evangelist Geraldine Spencer to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Radio broadcast. Amen. And thank you, Dr. McCoy. And I'm going to be reading to you John, first chapter, verses 6 through, John, 6 through 13. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And I'm reading the NIV. And it says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we know that Jesus is the true light. And here in the scripture it is saying that John was not the light. He was, in other words, a witness to the light. And he was the one that was John the Baptist was the one that came to prepare the way for the light. And we know that Jesus Christ is the true light, because we know that once we give our life to him and confess him as our Lord and Savior and believe in our heart that what we have been in darkness about, that what we've been in darkness and doing, that is where the true light comes in and cleanses us and removes all sin. And you know, and there are going to be times, too, that there are things that we're going to, as we give our life to Christ and we walk with him and allow that light to manifest and to be a part of us, that, amen, it would expose some things that we didn't even know that was sin or was darkness. And once that light shows us that was darkness and that was sin, then we have a choice to, in other words, surrender and to let go. But he's already, in other words, paid the price. The only thing we got to do is let go and be delivered of it. Amen. And here we also know that, amen, that as believers and of the true light of Christ, that we are to, in other words, be the light unto the world, in other words, to those that are in darkness, to those that don't know or that haven't given their life to Christ. And in that being that light, that means that we are to be a light, in other words, of love, a light of love, a light of meekness, of gentleness, a light of kindness, a light of in other words, self-control. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and 22, that, in other words, the fruit of the Spirit. And how we are to be, that's how we become that light. In other words, to be representation of the true light, which is Jesus Christ. And, you know, and a lot of times it said here in the Word that, you know, he came unto his own didn't receive him. A lot of times, you know, the Lord is going to lead us to minister to our own. And when we're talking about our own, in other words, it could be, in other words, someone in our family, someone in our household, in other words, someone on our job, on our community, someone that, you know, we might be just crossing their path, and there are going to be times that they will not receive us. But in other words, we got to know and believe that, you know, we speak truth unto them about the light, which is Jesus Christ, that their eyes may be open. And whether or not they receive it, you know, that's not up to us. But the thing about it is that we've got to speak it. We got to speak the truth and let them know that Jesus Christ is the light, that they don't no longer have to be in that place of bondage, that he has came, amen, and he's paid the price, amen, and that they no longer have to be in bondage to sin. They no longer have to be in that darkness. And, you know, a lot of times, sometimes people don't know that they're, you know, in darkness. They think that they're doing what they see everybody else do. They think that they're okay because they haven't, you know, murdered nobody. They haven't, in other words, hurt nobody. They did this and did that. But it's about, in other words, what they believe in their heart. If they haven't given their life unto God, they're in darkness. They're in darkness. Amen. And so we are to be that light. Amen. Be the representation of the true and living life. Amen. And so we have to do, amen, the word of God and speak the word of God to those that are in darkness. Amen. And do it in love. Amen. Because God so loved, in John 3:16, God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that we may have life and have it more abundant and eternal. Amen. Everlasting life. Amen. So it's about, in other words, us being just obedient. And amen. Being that true light for Christ, because he is the true light, but being that light for Christ, amen, in the world unto those that are in darkness, amen, and to do it in love, to do it in love. And, you know, and a lot of times, sometimes people turn away, not so much because of what we're saying, but how we're saying. And we have to, in other words, be of gentleness. We have to be of gentleness, and we have to go, amen, in love. In love when we're ministering, in love when we're, you know, being the witness of the true light. Amen, Jesus Christ, and being that light. Amen. And I give God praise, amen, and I pray that, you know, to those that are listening, amen, that, you know, something be said, amen, that they, amen, hearts be open, amen, to come out of darkness into the marvelous light, the true light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
All right. Thank you very much, Evangelist Spencer. It let us know, and we're talking about the true light, and we're talking about the light of God, that Jesus is the light of the world. He is that true light. In him is no darkness. Somebody else may say, I am the light. I'm representing the light, but are you really representing Christ? And I just was listening to your evangelist as you began to let us know that in order to do, I know that John, he came bear witness of this light, so which was the true light, and we are supposed to be examples of that true light. And then you began to share with us and to let us know, according to Galatians 5:22, you began to let us know that the light, what Jesus represents. You know, any a light can illuminate, but we're talking about the light of Jesus Christ. And when the word of God cometh in, because the word says, you abide in me and my word abide in you. We need to let the word of God abide within us so that we can bring forth. We let the word of God cause us to bring forth that love that Evangelist Spencer was talking about. She said that we need to walk in love. If we said that we are representative of the light, then we ought to be the light of the world. We ought to let Jesus, never let Jesus be manifested within us. And when I began to think about, when she began to say about that love, it wrapped my mind, went to that 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And I just want to read a little bit of that, if not all. It says, though I speak with the tongue of men, the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sound breath or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gifts of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, no matter how much you may feed the poor, if you don't have Christ, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity, which is love, suffers long, and it's kind. Charity envies not. Charity vomits not itself. Is not puffed up. Doeth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But where there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now about a faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And when I think about the love of God, when I think about God's love, the word said, and I believe you said this, Evangelist, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So as believers, if you are not a believer out there listening to this broadcast today, you need Jesus Christ in your life. Christ, the love of thee. Even when I think about the thief on the cross, yes, he was a thief, but Christ loved him. Yes, even the man was on the opposite side, there was a murder. Yes, he committed crimes in his life, but yet God loved him. And it's the same way with the people in the world today. And you may be a person that don't know what love is. You may think it's between you and another person. You may think it's something that you have a temporary thing. But God is that love. And the only way to know how to love is to know God. Because he loved us. The way that we really know love, because he first loved us. And she was talking about the meekness and being kind. And she was talking about that joy and that peace and that long-suffering and that goodness and gentleness and so on. So we're talking about today the true life. And if we want the true light in our heart, we have to be representative of him. We have to know who he is in our life. So that verse and those verses that we have been discussing, and we're going to talk about it even the more, because we're getting ready to welcome to the Breakthrough broadcast Miss Helen Watson. And she is going to come, and she is going to talk and speak further about that true life. Welcome, Miss Helen Watson, to Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and welcome to all the panelists and the listening audience to the Breakthrough Broadcast today. And I was listening to Evangelist Spencer talk about the true light, and from John, 1 John 6-13, and as she read, I was just thinking on how, you know, John had to go forth, and like the Bible said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. A voice cried out of the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He was preparing the people for the true light, I mean, the Christ that was going to come, that had come, that didn't know him yet, but he was on the scene, and he was preparing the way for God, for the Lord to come in and start his work. And I was just listening and thinking, you know, John had a really big job. He had a very big job because he had to precede Jesus. He had to go before him and prepare the people and compel them and get them to know, prepare their hearts and prepare their minds. Like, this is, I am not who you think I am. I am not the Christ. There is one coming that's going to be more powerful than anything. He's going to do great works. You know, he has come to save the world. He is the light of the world, and that is such a big job that he had to get out there and he had to do. But when Jesus came on the scene, how the people, some of them, not everybody, but some of them, you know, when John had prepared the way, and that's where we come in as Christians. And today, we still have a charge like John had to compel people to come to Christ. This is Christ. This is the Christ. He is the light of the world. He came to save the world, not condemn it, but to save it for him. For you have to come to him, to come unto him, to be saved, to enjoy, you know, the promises of God, to enjoy what he has for you, eternal life. And that is what John had to get out there and do. But when the Lord came into the world, he came to save us. He came to give us the promise of eternal life. And who does not want eternal life? So us as Christians have to get out there and still till the ground and still heard one of the panelists say that we have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to get out there and we have to represent God. We have to go out there and we have to tell people still about the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he came all those years ago, there are still people that we need to compel to come, that need to be saved. And everybody is not going to come to the church doorstep, so we have to get out there like John did, and we have to go all out and give it all because Jesus is the light of the world. And He wants everybody to know that. Everybody has a chance to be saved. Everybody has an equal chance to enter into the gates of heaven. And God, that's what he came to do. He came to save the world because he is the light of the world. Our Bible tells us to just go and compel them to come. Over in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, I think it's the 9th verse, it would say, you that show forth praises unto him who have called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. He gives us all equal opportunity to be saved, to sit with him, to reign with him. I mean, he stepped out of eternity into time because he loved us so much. And Evangelist Sister was talking about his love, that he loved us so much. Which one of us and which one of us will step out of eternity to, you know, the right hand of the Father in paradise in heaven and step into time, to hang on a cross, and to, so that we can be saved, that we will have a chance for heaven, that we can enter into the gates and reign with him for eternity. Only God, only our God, only the true light of the world, only the Savior of the world will do that, because he loved us so much that he came down. He came down. He gave his life. He laid it down so that we will have a chance to reign with him, because he is our Savior. He is our Lord. As Christians, we have to get out there, and we still, there is a lot of work yet to be done, and that is our charge. As long as we live, as long as we have to work our way, we have to do what God has applied to our hand. We cannot get slothful about it. A lot of churches now and a lot of Christians now are, we're looking here and we're looking there, and we're doing things that don't really even concern God. What concerns God is his people, his soul, the heart, that he wants everybody to be saved. That's what he came for. He wants us to be saved. He loves us so much. He does not want any of us to perish. But some Christians, some preachers, some pastors these days, we're not looking at that. We're looking at fortune and fame. Some are looking at how many how their congregation growing, the monies. That is not even important to God. A name is not important to God, because when you stand before him, you will stand before him, and he will call you by your name. He will not call you prophetess. He's not going to call you evangelist. He's not going to call you apostle. He's going to call you by your name, and he's going to ask, what did you do with the life? Did you help build my kingdom? So it's a charge on the Christians today, all of us, to compel them to come to the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and we have to spread that word. John started it, we have to continue it. Until we leave this earth, we cannot lay down that charge. We have to get out there and compel people to come to the light of the world, because God loved us enough to come down out of eternity into time and die for us. That is pure love. I don't know anybody that on earth besides him that loves that much. So that tells me that we are important to him. He went and prepared a place for us. He said so in his word, that we will reign with him for eternity one day. But we won't get to do that unless we come to him. We come out of the darkness into the light. We have to make a choice, and he gives us that choice. But he has open arms, and that's what we have to get out there. And we have to tell his people, because all of us are his people. Everybody's his people. But he gives us a free choice. We want them to come to the Lord. We want them to be saved. That's what he wants. So we have a great charge on today's listening audience and broadcast panelists, a great charge to get out there and compel the people to come to Christ, the light of the earth. He only wants to love us. He only wants us to reign with him. We are his people. He loves us very much, and that's what I wanted to convey to the listening audience today. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Watson, and it is so important for us to compel men and women, boys and girls, to come to Christ. And many of them, as Ms. Watson has already stated, some of them not going to come into the doors of the sanctuary, of the synagogues, of the building, but they're out there and they're waiting for the people of God to come and to rescue them, to save them, deliver. Some don't even know that they need to be delivered. Some don't need to know that they need to be made free, but they know that there's something in their life is turned around and turned upside down. Something that life is missing, and Jesus Christ is what's missing in their life. See, they need to know truth. You know, they need to know to be in the presence of a Most High God. So if we say that we love God, then we have to love his people as well. Because God, as even as John came and he bare witness of Christ, then we're going to have to go and we're going to have to bear witness to what God has said in his word and what God has done in our lives as well. Yes, we were all in darkness. Yes, we were all on our way to hell. But the word saved us. Jesus saved us. He said it's only begotten. God said it's only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, shall have everlasting life. The word of God was the word itself that was made flesh and dwell among us. He showed us how to live, how to walk, how to talk. He showed us how to show compassion. He showed us how to command and to bring deliverance into the life of his people. Yes, he were born to Mary and Joseph, but there, and that even the what it happened even there, it was not from Joseph. It was that from the Most High God. It was the Holy Ghost inside of him. It was that word that was in him that was made flesh through these two people. And we have to get the word out. We have to tell people about this living Savior. We have to let them know that God loved them. And sometimes people, as you see on the streets or in your employment, whatever institution that you may be working for, people that you meet in, on the bus or wherever it may be, this is for opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. And you may say, oh, I don't know how to tell them about him. John, he did what God told him. Let them know, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He was not, John was not trying to take credit for Jesus nor being him, and neither are we. But we need to let others see Jesus in our lives. And as I was saying, is there's so many opportunities to share Jesus Christ. You may say, oh, I don't know how, but why don't you just get, first of all, you need to be saved. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to know the love of God that's in you. You got to know that God first loved you. And if you know that God first loved you, and if you know that God has forgiven you for your sins and that Christ came into your heart, you can easily tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And I'd like to offer also this suggestion that you go and you buy some tracts or whatever it may be and tell somebody else about the true life. Tell somebody else about how Christ came into your life, how God changed you, and how God made you free, and what God did in you. You know, you may have been a dope dealer. You may have been dealing dope. You may have been a thief and a robber. Remember that thief again and that robber that was on the cross? Oh, my God. When I think about that thief, yes, he was a thief. But God had so much love for him until the Lord told him that this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. God forgave him for everything that he had done, for his thievery or whatever he may have done. God forgave him. You know, you may meet a drunkard. You know, you may meet a homemonger, a fornicator. You know, you may have met a liar. You know, whatever it may be. You may just meet somebody that thinks they have it all together. But you need to show the love of God within you. And when you show the love of God, God love spring forth in you, that they can be saved, that they can know the love of God. There are many people looking at you, yes, even on your job. They're looking at you. They see that picture. They may not know Jesus Christ, but they are looking at you. And and instead of reading the Bible, when you say that you're saved and you're sanctified and you're holy, hallelujah, then they are reading what's on your book and seeing if this person really what they say or who they say that they are. But we need to let the love of God be within us. And at this time, I would like to ask Ms. Helen Watson. I would like to ask her this question, and also some of the other panelists on our panel today. How has your life been changed since Christ came into your life? How has your life changed since you accepted Christ into your life? Ms. Watson.
Yes, Dr. McCoy, and I would answer that because he changed my life so dramatically and so drastically, and it was all for the better. It was all for the good. I wasn't a wild person by nature, but I was still on my way to hell. And God came into my life and made me to realize that, you know, I could do something. So my life changed drastically in a way that I started to trust him and I started to lean and depend on him. And as I got older and got more the church and start praying more and just went from level to level in him, realized how much he loved me and what a promise he had for me, what a plan he had for my life, because I was on the wrong track. Like I said, I wasn't wild by nature, but I was still on my way to hell. So just being a good person does not get you into heaven. You will still enter into the gates of hell if you are not saved and have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I was still on my way to hell. There was a lot of things that I was doing that I shouldn't have done. But that being said, he still changed my life for the better. I'm on my way to heaven. He gave me a choice. I took the choice to go to heaven and to reign with him. My life is much better now. like plan and a promise, like I said, for me. His plan for my life is much better than I could ever have gotten for myself. He knows best for me. I have to trust him. I lean on him, and I depend on him. He is my provider in everything. I don't have to worry about anything. I mean, the human is to worry, but I don't do that. I put that in his hand. Even when I get bills and I say to myself in the car, sometimes I laugh. I say, God, you got mail today. Not mine, because I don't have it, but I know you do. And I know, you know, I just laugh to myself. You got mail today. And I put it on there, and I pray, well, hey, that's his. He's changed my life so much. He loves me so much. And I can see the plan for my life that he has for my life, and I can see doors opening up. I can see me growing in him. I can see me loving and getting closer to him. It is just the best life that I could have ever lived. And if I came back again and again, I would still live Christ because I love him just that much. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
So you mean to tell me, Ms. Watson, that just singing in a choir is not enough? Do you mean to tell me that ushering on the usher board is not enough? You mean to tell me just because you may feed the homeless, are you telling me that that is not enough? What are you saying?
I'm saying that you need to accept Jesus Christ in your life as your personal Savior. You can be the nicest person in the world. You can give to everybody on the street. But if you have heard the word of God and you know the way, you become accountable. You become responsible. And that means you have to accept him as your personal Savior to enter into heaven. You have to go through the Son to get to the Father. So you're going to have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It is not enough to be a nice person. Just because you don't think you're sin, you're still in sin because you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So therefore, you are still in sin and still in darkness. You need to accept him as your personal Savior, and then you have a choice, the life that he chose for you. You have the prompt to go to get into heaven. That is your get into heaven card through Jesus Christ. So no, it is not nice. It's not enough to be nice. It's not enough to live with a... That person is a good person. Not enough. It is not enough. You have to accept Jesus Christ and be saved to enter into the gates of heaven. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. You heard that today, that it's not enough to just sing in a choir. It's not enough to on the usher boat or be a good doer. But we got to be a hearer and a doer of God's word. And we're going at this time to Pastor Cooper. And Pastor Cooper, I'd like to ask you that same question. How has your life changed since you accepted Christ as your Savior?
Amen, Dr. McCoy. Well, for me, I know I always had a desire to be saved. We grew up in a house where our parents were ministers growing up. And, you know, as you grow up in life, you kind of have your goals and perspective on life and how life should be. And but sometimes what we do is we don't think of the end. And sometimes when I first got saved, that's one thing the Lord dealt with me about my ending. So the ending was my ending was far greater than my beginning. And now what I see now is the perspective the Lord has given me is that, you know, I have a perspective that my desire is to be with him in the end. So the things that I do now that works towards my ending, it establishes not that my works are going to save me, but I want to stay in the grace of God and in the will of God and in right relationship with him. So I always view my ending as it pertains to my now in my decision-making process and things that I know that I must do that God has given me to do. So in one area, it has changed my perspective on life as a whole. And then throughout time, you know, I can see how the Lord has changed my disposition about things that I may have had struggles with, my outlook. The Lord has definitely changed my outlook on things in life, how I perceive things, how I perceive people, why things even happen in our lives. We know that trials do come to make us strong, and God does. He takes us from one state into the next, or from one glory to the next, through sometimes trials or storms. So I think a lot has to do with the way I've been thinking. God is definitely shaping me, continuing to be the way that I think, thinking more like him, having more of the mind of my his son and my Savior Christ. So I think for the most part, it's as a whole, it has changed the way that I perceive things, how I govern my life now, because I really think about my ending, because my number one desire is to truly to be with the Lord in the end. And I know for one thing, it's definitely been the way that I think and how I pursue life as a whole. I look at my life as working towards a finish line now, and then when I get there, there's a huge and there's a great prize, and I know that that prize is to one day to be with the Lord forever. So I can say to the radio listeners and to you on the panel that it has definitely been the way I view life as a whole, you know, and that definitely helps me to be more conscious of decisions that I do make. Do I make mistakes? Yeah. Do I do? When I say mistakes, I'm not meaning to go into a practice sin or habitually do anything because I have grace and I have mercy with God because of Christ. No. But what I'm saying is that in pursuing to do the right thing, sometimes you will make the wrong decisions, but you will find out that those decisions will eventually lead you to the right decision. So, because my number one objective is to please God. So, yes, ma'am. That's how the Lord has changed my life since I have become saved. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you again, Pastor Hooper. We're going at this time to Evangelist Spencer. We're going to ask you the same question. How is your life, your life, been affected by the fact that God loved for you? How has your life changed? How have your life changed since you accepted Christ as your Savior?
Amen. Thank you. Amen. My life was changed. Grew up in church and serving on the different things and doing things in church, but in my spirit, I knew that there was more to God. And God changed. In other words, it was a place of Nicodemus, where, in other words, the Lord administered to me and said that, you know, in other words, you got to be born again. And that born again, in other, because you cannot even see, nor can you enter the kingdom of God unless you be born again. And how he changed me, in other words, he developed me with a love for, amen, not only, you know, the people of God, but a love, a genuine, unconditional love that, you know, to love them and to, in other words, to embrace them, you know, and to have that agape love, the unconditional love. And the love, I had to get the understanding of the love, because the love that I was taught, in other words, you do for me, I'll do for you. But it was, in other words, a love that, you know what, whether, you know, you like me or whether you don't like me, I still have a love for you that, in other words, if you're going through something, if you in need of something, if I can help, I'll do it. I can do it, and have, in other words, and have a love that, you know, no matter how much, you know, you're talking about me, how much you're, in other words, curse me out, I still have to walk, amen, in that love, because God, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I had to get and change, and he changed me to show me, in other words, to get that love like what he has, the love like what he has. And in other words, that love that you'd be so willing to give. In other words, that love, you're at that place where you're ready to forgive even before it even takes place. You're just in a place you're ready to forgive, to walk in that love. That's how God had changed me, because I was a person, you know, that, hey, you did something to me, I was going to get back. I was eye for an eye. I was going to get back. But God, he came into my life, and I opened the doors for him to come in. First of all, he showed me how to walk in his love. And the word of God says love covers a multitude of sins. And you walk in his love, it doesn't matter what color, it doesn't matter what nationality, it doesn't matter where you at, whether you can be the richest person, you can be the poorest person, it doesn't matter. But it's about the love of God, getting that in my heart. And when, and I had to go through something to get that, because God still was showing me, you know, Geraldine, your prejudice is here in this area about that. You can't be there. You can't have that in your heart about that. You got to let my whole love, you got to let it wholly come in, completely come in, amen, and change, and let, hallelujah, that you are able to, amen, to do this, to do this, and you are able, in other words, through him, to walk in that love, to walk in that love, to be in that place of his perfect love, to be in that place of his perfect love, because when you're in God's love, you will find out that you are in a place of peace that surpasses all understanding. You are in a place of peace that surpasses all understanding when you walk in that perfect love of God. Amen. And you get it truly into your heart, into your mind, body, and spirit. Peace. Peace. Things don't move you. Don't shake you like they used to. Amen. You can just, amen. Hey, show the love of God. Show the love of God. Amen. So, you know, that's how God has truly changed me, was, amen, with his love. With his love, and allowing him to come in, and allowing him, amen, to change me from that heart of stone to a heart of flesh, a heart of flesh of love, amen, to change my heart. Amen. That's how he has changed me. Thank you, Dr. McCoy.
I'm not the same anymore. I am not the same anymore. Since Jesus came into my life, I'm not the same, no more the same. I'm not the same anymore. And we can have that testimony that we're not the same since Jesus came into our lives. No more the same. We are working progress. Christ is still working within us. But yes, we can say to God, be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done within us. This is the Breakthrough Broadcast. We'd like to give you this opportunity at this time to give your life to Christ. All of us were sinners saved by grace, by the grace of God. For the Word of God says that we all have come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God so loved the Word, he gave us only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Word let us know that Christ came to seek and to save those that are lost. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord, save it. He said, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shall be saved. And no matter what you have had, the life experience that you have lived, what you did yesterday, what you did this morning, what you did 5 years ago, God is a God that will forgive. God is a God that will cast every sin into sea of forgetfulness, and he will remember it no more. So if you're driving your vehicle down the road, why don't you just stop, if you can, on the side of the road? Or if you are running, why don't you just give God some time? Or if you just walk into the house and you hear the Breakthrough Broadcast, as we give the invitation for you to receive Christ into your life, and you know that you're not living according to God's word, and you want Christ to come into your life, and you want to be saved, and you want to know the love of God, we want you at this time to just give God, just give him this time right now. Ask him to forgive you for your sin. The Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. He will forgive you for your sins. He'll come into your heart, and he will save you. I'm saying that he will cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. Father, even as I pray, even as I reach into the radio audience today, Lord, I pray, God, even now, God, that you would touch that little one. God, they may be 50 years old. They may be 75 years old, 25 or 20, 17 or 5. But Lord, even as the word, my God, even as the word has gone forth, even as the invitation has gone forth, Father, I ask thee in Jesus' name, even if they ask you, Lord God, to forgive them for their sins, to come into their heart and to save them, to cast every sin into the sea of forgetfulness and to remember it no more, I pray even now that you will touch their heart, that you will give them that clean heart, and that you will give them that right spirit. Oh, Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus, God, that they will never be the same. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to do it even now. God, cause the joy of the Lord to be their strength. I pray even now, Lord God, that the inside, the spirit on the inside will change. God, that the mind will change, the heart will change, Lord God. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. And even as they have said yes to your will and yes to your way, Lord, I thank you right now for saving them and delivering them. Now, Lord, those that are listening even now, and God, they need to hear from you. And God, there, Father God, in the name of Jesus, don't know, Father God, where to turn. But Father, even after they heard the word today and letting them know, God, that you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by you. And God, that you are that light, you are that true light. God, that you are made flesh. God, that you are the internal word. Lord, you are that everlasting word, God. I ask thee, Lord God, to touch them even now. Lord, those are going through persecution. Those are going through oppression. Those are going through depression. God, those, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that in a financial strait, God, those that are need of food, those that are need, Father God, for just somebody to hold them. Lord, let them know, God, that you're that person that's able to hold them and caress them and love on them and supply that need, God, even now. And God, I ask thee in Jesus' name, God, even requests, Lord, have gone up before you, Lord God. And Lord, even those requests that have gone up before you, God, oh, Father, I ask thee, God, to move, Father God, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, somebody need, God, you to move in their finance, Lord. God, I ask thee, Lord, to move, God, even now. God, I ask thee, God, to touch them right now. God, to open that door right now, Lord God. I ask thee, God, to open the windows of heaven on their behalf and pour out blessing that there be not room enough to receive. Lord, I pray even now, God, for that person, God, that is sick, God, in their body. Lord, I pray healing, God, not only to one person, but to those people that are sick. God, I pray your healing power, God, to be manifested in their body. Lord, in the name of Jesus, realizing, God, in the name of Jesus, you're able to heal every infirmity, every sickness, every disease, Ekal of Messiah, even that person that's been lied to, Lord God, and say, God, that and have them thinking that they cannot be healed and they cannot be delivered. God, that person, God, has been given a bad report, God, God, that they will not live, that they shall die, that the devil is a liar. Oh, God, I pray healing, God, even now. Lord, God, in Jesus' name, God, that you would give that person faith, God, to believe your word, and God, that some kind of depressed, God, because of reports, God, that have been given to them. But Lord, I pray even this day, God, that you would touch them, God, even now, and God, turn things around in their lives, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I decree and I declare your word that it be manifest upon them, Lord God, even as they believe, even as they trust you, Lord God, and know, God, that you're able, God, to move on their behalf. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that somebody needs a job. And Lord, I pray even now, God, that you will touch those individuals, Lord God, that have been without jobs, Lord God, for a long time. And God, and they are in need of that financial help. God, they need, Father God, to return to work. Lord, even now, Lord God, I pray that you, God, will make provision, that you'll open the hearts of those, God, that are able to employ them. And Father, this I thank you. And I praise your name for all that you have done. Oh, God, that you're going to do, Lord God, according to your word. I bind oppression, depression, in the name of Jesus. All depression and oppression I bind right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, even, Father God, the man, the woman, God, that walk in the street with bipolar disease, God, I come against it right now. In Jesus' name, we pray healing. Even that schizophrenic person, Lord, I pray healing. God, right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray even now, Lord God, that you will look upon those people, Lord God. And even that called lunatic, Lord, I pray even now, God, that you will touch them. Even now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, touch their mind, touch their heart. And God, I see, Lord, even the love, Father, that the evangelists talk about today. Lord, that the love of God, God, touch the hearts of the people. God, that they'll love the way that you are having the love, Father God. Even those that are sick with infirmity, God, that the power of your spirit, God, will bring deliverance to that person with bipolar and schizophrenic disease or disorders, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, even now, Lord, that person that want to get pregnant, and Father, they cannot get pregnant, Lord, I pray even now, Lord, that you would touch their womb, even as you touch Hannah, and Lord, that you cause healing, Father God, in that womb, that person that's married and want to bring forth, God, in the name of Jesus, that's been there in that, God, do it even right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we thank you for your healing power being demonstrated today. In Jesus' name we pray. And, God, we thank thee. We thank the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, God, because prayer does make the difference. Prayer does change things. So we want you to know, radio audience, that we're so happy that you have joined us today on the Breakthrough broadcast. Our topic for the day was the incarnation. Our central truth was God's purpose in the incarnation was to reveal himself through Christ. And our key verse today was, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We would like to take this opportunity to thank all our panelists for being today with us on the Breakthrough broadcast. We would like to thank Evangelist Geraldine Spencer, Miss Helen Watson, Pastor Eric Hooper for joining us again on the Breakthrough broadcast. May God bless you. May God keep you, our panelists, as well as our listening audience, until we meet again. in Jesus' name.